This podcast is being recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past and present, and acknowledge their ongoing connection to land, waters, and culture. Colonization and genocide are ongoing processes that continue to this day. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
What a jam.
Stevie knocked it out of the park with that one. Mm-hmm. I think it was written for MLK's birthday, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yes, which makes the song even better. It's already the best birthday song. Mm. Should obviously replace the regular birthday song, as it is known.
We could also do Happy Birthday, Mr. Snackbar.
I really wish I'd prepared a giant novelty cake for you to burst out
on. Me too. Yeah, what the hell?
That is how that happened, right?
As far as I understand from The Simpsons, yes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Auspol Snack Pod. It is episode 52.
52? That's a significant number.
Yeah, it is. That's 1 year of Auspol Snack. Well, it'll be 1 year of Auspol Snack Pod by the end of the week. Yeah. So, if you don't already listen to the show, this is probably going to be relatively meaningless and annoying for you. So, you could probably skip it. But for everybody else who's been listening along for the last year, we just want to say thank you so much for all your support. It's ridiculous that this has happened. And we're just going to have a very self-indulgent episode where we talk about ourselves as a treat. As a one-year anniversary birthday treat, we've done very little preparation, haven't read very much news, and instead just going to navel gaze for an hour.
Yeah. Something that happens a lot is that, like, you know, we have statistics for downloads and listens and stuff, and very uncomfortably, the first episode is often high up on that list. And it's uncomfortable because we had no fucking clue what we were doing. The show has changed a lot. We had a much worse microphone. we put our feet in our mouths a lot. And just in general, it's not the polished feast that we present each week. So... We've been thinking about deleting our early episodes from our like hosting site because it's not really what we want people to know us for. But that said, we thought it might be fun to go back and listen to our first episode together and see what we did wrong and what we did right and talk a little bit about our year of making the show and what we want upcoming and
So if that sounds interesting, then stay tuned. So we're gonna play. We're going to play the first episode and then like pause to do bits of commentary here and there. And I think we're going to play it at like 1.5 speed so it doesn't take fucking forever. So if you're somebody who listens to the show already on 1.5 speed...
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, sucked in. All right, shall we dive into
the
first episode? All right, here we go.
We are recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. We want to pay our respects to Indigenous elders, past and present, recognize that sovereignty over this land was never ceded, and that colonization and genocide are still ongoing on this land.
And always things was, happening always on this land.
Aboriginal land.
Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hey.
Okay, so right off the bat there, the acknowledgement, we acknowledged an Aboriginal nation that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it was the name of the river, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and I think I picked it up. I picked that up at like Progress, and I must have just like misheard. And I do remember trying to do. I was like, I heard so many people say it, and I did the research and couldn't find it. I was like, it must just be. I'll just follow other people's lead on this. It was a bad idea. Someone called us out on it, like a few episodes in.
Yeah,
so we changed
three
that.
Or four or something. Yeah, and we've changed our acknowledgement a couple times.
Yeah,
and we keep sort of changing it and tuning it up and trying to fix it as people tell us that we should be doing it differently.
Mm. I remember, like, I think initially we said elders past and present, and then somebody was like, you should say emerging.
Yeah.
And then recently we've reverted back to trying not to say emerging because I've just seen enough First Nations people on Twitter being like,
that's not a thing.
What the fuck is an emerging, like, yeah. Am I an emerging uncle? Is there an emerging auntie? Like,
but yeah, also I think although we do kind of have a formula for our acknowledgement, we're not like reading a script when we do it each week. And I think that's something that is kind of important in a very small way for both of us to just kind of like have a bit of like improv isn't quite the right word, but like, try and speak from the heart a little bit, even though we're kind of doing something a bit formalistic as well. But yeah, it's an opportunity, I think, for both of us at the start of the show to be like, we really got to remember this shit. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the old theme song, Ozpol Shit Pod.
Yeah.
Before we realized that having a swear word in your name meant that you couldn't be on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Or a swear word anywhere in any of the text associated.
Including self-censored swear words.
Yeah, so you can't have S star
Ozpol
star star.
Bleep Pod or whatever, yeah.
I think the only podcast that I can think of that sort of did that was S-Town.
Right.
Which is... I mean, no one. We can't be Ozpol S-Pod.
No, so, no.
And like, I occasionally when we're doing the intro, Noon and I will have to retake because we still say Ozpol Shit Pod. Because you know, Ozpol Shit Posting.
Yeah, exactly.
But and it is a much better name.
It is, unfortunately.
But we came up with this other name and then basically built this extremely labored,
but also minimal brand about it. Yeah.
Hey, look, I like the little toast guy. And
it's true.
You know.
I know what we're having this week is birthday cake.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Boom. All right.
Let's keep going.
I'm
going
to switch up to 1.5 speed and let's listen to some more of episode one, Medivac Monkey.
To the very first ever episode of Ozpol Shit Pod.
Yeah, we're kind of thinking this will be a bit of a like dry run. Probably won't get released publicly. Just want to see if anybody on the page is like even slightly interested.
We did release it publicly.
So yeah, this is about sounding everybody
out. Still
out. So let us know what you reckon.
Get in the comments, tell us to pip your zines, give us your hot takes, and tell us that we're completely wrong about everything.
Yeah, that, as much of that as possible would be great. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hey, I'm Noon, who probably most of you know as Ino Funkenstein, the admin of Ozpol Shitposting.
And I go by Zach LeSnack on Facebook because I don't want anybody from my work to ever read anything I post or know that anything that I've said here came from my mouth.
How's that project going for you, Zach? Does anyone at work know who you are?
Yes, several people.
Yeah.
but...
Have they ratted you out to the bus?
Well, I think it's the only people who know are like friends of mine at work. Yeah. No, yeah, it was more like I hope my boss doesn't ever find out that I do this. And as far as I know, I don't even know if she knows what a podcast is. So,
And I'm probably best known on Ozpol Shitposting for having extremely rampant posting binges whenever I'm really bored at work, roughly once every 2 months, and then going completely silent.
And being the only person on the page who doesn't like Patricia Cavells.
Not a fan. Get into it on another episode.
I don't know if we have gotten into it, really.
I did see something that she posted the other day in the wake of, like, and it was just a lot of controversy about how a lot of media at the moment are having all-white panels speaking about the Black Lives Matter protests, and PK arranged, like, an entirely First Nations panel, I think, for her show. So, look, credit where it's due.
Yeah.
But also... I don't know. It's kind of what I was talking about last week with Hamish McDonald's interview, where there's just so much implicit acceptance of the immutability of the current like political system, implicit in the questioning of these people. And there's it's just so much like treating all of this Gossip Girl shit that happens in Canberra as if it's really important. And it just becomes really tiresome to me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's actually something really valuable that I've gotten out of doing the show with you is like an extra layer of cynicism about the ABC. I mean, maybe that's not really good, but I like it.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's good to be critical of them. It feels bad at the moment because they're about to lay off like an extra 450 staff or something, and obviously they've been under constant attack by successive Liberal governments for decades. And but you know, it's like I expect more from them. I want more from them. That's why I get my hackles up.
Well, I think I kind of fell in love with ABC Radio and really like political bullshit. They kind of went together with me. And it was when Tony got into office and I listened to a lot of John Fain, who fucking hammered him repeatedly. And then the government stopped sending people to him. They like refused to do interviews for a long time.
Yeah. Stick to Alan. Get the softballs.
But then, like, since then, John Fain has done a lot of fucked shit and he's out of the job now, which is probably a good thing. But like, yeah, no, but I really think that hanging out with you for an hour a week talking about media has really hardened my heart towards the ABC. But anyway.
Look, you know, and all mainstream media, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know.
It was pretty hard towards that already, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
on a theoretical future episode, which may or may not ever happen.
It did.
Cool. So this will be a podcast where we talk about the memes behind the news and the news behind the memes. Is the idea. That's our sort of working tagline that we're working with at the moment. But if you guys have better ideas for a snappy one-liner that describes the show, please let us know.
Yeah. Well, I think we settled on Australia's foremost political nobodies, yeah, at least for the time being.
And the weekly podcast where we bring you bite-sized chunks of Australian politics news with a side of crispy memes.
Yeah.
But I like the news behind the memes and the memes behind the news. That's also pretty good.
It's not bad. I'd forgotten about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, you know. We can bring it back. We cycle it, put it back into rotation.
Totally.
Yeah.
Or tell us to stop forever. That is the other
also fine
option.
Haven't actually got that one, which is nice.
Probably something I just wanted to say up top is that I feel like a lot of the conversation around politics and stuff in this country tends to be about the circus that is kind of happens in Canberra and treating the whole thing like a bit of a soap opera and it's like, oh, juicy drama. And that's
wow, I just say the same shit again and again, don't I?
Acknowledging that a lot of the issues that are being discussed are actually life and death for a lot of people. So while we obviously want to make jokes because we like memes, we also want to acknowledge that there is, you know, it's not all fun and games, and even though we ourselves both occupy positions of pretty hefty privilege in a number of ways, that, you know, we acknowledge that is not everybody else's experience. So, just want to get that out of the way off top.
Yeah, nice. So, I think we're going to start with discussing a few of the big news items from the last couple of days. And one that I think probably a lot of people have heard about is that Corey Bernardi has dissolved the Australian Conservative Party.
Hey!
Wow.
1 year!
A year and a half.
I really haven't heard anything about Corey Bernardi recently. Like, this happened and he's just gone.
Yeah, well, if you continue to listen to your commentary, you may get some inkling as to why.
Why? Cool.
18 months?
Yeah. Which is, you know, more successful than any political party that I've started. But that's not saying
successful than the one political party that you briefly joined.
It's only just as slightly less successful than the podcast. Year and a half.
Corey Bernardi's Conservative Party didn't have somebody in a tutu at their party launch.
Yep.
Sorry, I...
No, that's a deep cut that our listeners probably don't know about. I don't think we explained that one. But
yeah, not really. Like, I do mention Save the Planet after this, I think. But Noon, very briefly, had... He was about to take a tilt at federal politics.
Yeah, I got a write-up in The Australian.
Yeah. So Noon joined this political party called Save the Planet, which I think still technically exists.
Yeah, technically.
And the leader of which is a member of Ozpol Shitposting, although hasn't been active in a while, and used to just kick up the most, like, inflammatory shitposting storms whenever he posted, which I always just found super amusing. But yeah, Save the Planet, you know, they're pretty much what they sound like. And I remember going to the party launch.
Yeah.
Where there's that guy who sells kombucha off the back of his bike.
Yeah, who I no longer associate with, and encourage listeners to do the same.
Yeah, don't buy that bicycle kombucha.
Yep.
But yeah, there was like a fairy in a tutu at the party launch.
Doing like face painting for kids and shit, yeah.
Yeah, and like...
Rob Quantock was there, a bunch of candidates gave speeches, including me, and people came up to me later and were like, oh, you should be a politician, but you're really good at that. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then like a week later, I can't remember exactly what happened. I think we didn't get the numbers to take the tilt, but yeah.
I can't remember exactly. I do remember Lewis giving you a lot of shit for introducing yourself as a philosopher.
Yeah.
In your speech. And the other thing I remember from that party launch was somebody, like one of the candidates, started talking about how that, like, we needed to invest heaps more in wind energy, and somebody else in the crowd piped up and basically saying like, oh, the metal that you need to build those things, it's extremely extractive and destructive. And then they just, like, an argument erupted, like, in the middle of the thing about whether or not it was truly environmentally friendly to have wind powered energy. And it was just like, oh yeah, Of course this would happen.
Yep.
Anyway, that was the start and end of Noon's career in politics, and now he's a jaded ex-politician.
Exactly, yeah. Which, I really got through that pipeline pretty quick.
Yeah, no, congrats.
But shout out to Save the Planet. We love you guys, even though... I mean, to be fair, I feel like Adrian contributes some of the absolute shittest posts to the page, and the amount of rage that he generates is...
You're right, you do just say the same thing over and over again.
But yeah, Corey Bernardi... Look, fuck that guy. So I am very happy to see his pet project crash and burn. I heard some people suggesting that basically it's because Malcolm Turnbull's gone, and now the Liberal Party is, like, under a conservative Christian leader, and he's like, oh, cool, I can go back to the Liberal Party now that they're not trying to be liberals anymore.
We've got to hand him, like, blind faith in the market. Like, oh, I don't want to... It's already a crowded marketplace. This is a... It's already been taken care of.
That's the other less ideological explanation, is that there's very little chance of him getting elected in 3 years' time when he's up for re-election in the Senate. So he's... Yeah, the idea is that he's going to try and get back onto the Liberal ticket.
Fucking hell. Do you reckon that'd happen?
Maybe. I mean, he's a very... He was very popular when he was in the Liberal Party. He was, like... He's good at talking to people, and he's a vote winner and a media circus guy. But he did leave very loudly, so maybe not.
That's an excellent point.
And, of course, I want to thank him for absorbing Family First into the Conservatives before he shut it down. So now that's actually two Conservative parties that he's destroyed. So good on you, Corey.
He's actually quite an efficient ally. I feel like that we kind of call that... We're using the term Corey Bernardi-ing. I can't remember what the context was, but he said something good maybe 2 years ago.
Broken clock.
Yeah, and even a Corey Bernardi is right.
It's the Ozpol shitposting motto.
Yeah.
Like how neither of us actually get through that sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Even a Corey Bernardi is...
Yep. Yeah, no, but... It's true, though. It's funny listening back to this and seeing that, like... It's still all of the same shit that we do and say now, and, like, the same memes. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, it grew out of the group, and now it's feeding back into the group. But, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Corey Bernardi-ing is an immortal phrase and concept. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So that's all about the Conservatives. What it makes.
Yeah, so one of the other things that has been sort of dominating the news cycle in what seems to be a pretty, like, slow week, to be honest, I haven't read much of the news this week, so obviously I decided to start a news podcast.
Listen to our very well-informed opinions.
Extremely, yeah.
This is still true today.
So, but yes, basically, Peter Dutton emerging from the shadows post-election, where they kind of kept him away in his shadowy little box, and now he's being let out to, explicitly sow the seeds of fear and hate, racism and xenophobia.
It is funny to think that we started this, like, basically just after the last election.
Mm.
So that I definitely didn't think at the time of us as, like, starting it in response to like the Conservatives getting a renewed mandate, but, you know, that is kind of what happened.
Well, we'd been scheming it for a little while beforehand.
Yeah.
I had an idea for a podcast, which was basically Noon and the Dunce. Then you were like, yeah, I don't really want to do that. Let's do an Ozpol one. And I was like, I'm into that. That's fine. So, and thus Snackpod was born. But
no, because but it wasn't going to be Noon and the Dunce.
No,
it
was
going to be Noon reading theory by himself.
Yeah.
The podcast.
It's true.
Which undoubtedly people would listen to.
Mm.
I definitely don't question that. But as we discussed in one of the episodes of Noon and the Dunce, when this episode that you're now listening to, the first episode, we actually recorded... You're only listening to about half of what we recorded.
Yeah.
We also recorded about a half an hour of Noon explaining how people get the definitions of economic class wrong.
Yeah.
And me being like, oh, yeah, I don't understand that at all. the original idea for the podcast was for it to be more theory heavy, but there's just too much news, Noon.
It's true.
Because, to coin a phrase, they now have a mandate, I guess, for that. So, yeah.
We've got to fucking get a scorecard of Zach saying things that Zach says.
Top priority, I think, for the Nationals have also...
And so that Medivac bill was the legislation that meant that sick people in Manus and Nauru could come to Australia for treatment, and it was passed just at the end of the last term of government, against the will of the government, basically.
Yeah, which was a historic win in the sense that it was, you know, that particular... thing of legislation being passed in opposition to the government hadn't happened in, I think, 90 years. So in terms of a very, like, technical milestone, that was big. But one of the kind of tricky things around this issue, I think, is, you know, on the one hand, it's a very important piece of legislation because it is actually having an effect on people on the ground. And, you know, I think a couple of hundred, maybe 200 people have been flown into Australia.
No, any of that much. No, I think there's only been, like, six.
Oh, fuck.
So
I don't know where I got that number from.
Before the bill was passed, the government were like, 100 people are going to come to the country. And, in fact, there's been barely any. But there's been...
Just before we started watching this, we were looking at the website for this episode, and in the show notes, it just says, we were both wrong. There were 40 people sent with Medivac. And that's like literally the only notes. And then there's a link to an image of which is the shitpost of the week. But like, yeah, I don't know. We try and do our show notes a bit more carefully now. And like,
well, I don't think we didn't have any notes for this episode.
That's true. Well, and this was originally on SoundCloud, I think. We uploaded the first three or four episodes to Podbean.
Oh, as in the notes that
on.
We post. Yeah, yeah. No, but we also didn't have written notes, which we now usually have like quite comprehensive
pages, and pages.
Of notes written for episodes. Yeah,
yeah, I
the
think
early
this
ones
we just had like the titles of the news like stories or something.
Yeah, like yeah, it, probably if that.
Yeah,
and then at one point we had upgraded to a whiteboard
that we just like left in front of us while we were recording. That
and it had the names of the sections and what we were going to talk about for them, but like no more thorough notes.
Totally,
than
we just assumed that we knew what we were talking about somewhat. Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And it also had little like reminders written on it, like names written in giant capital letters, because with these early recordings where we were using the much crappier, we had one microphone that we were sharing between us, and we got lots of comments that people couldn't tell our voices apart. So we're like, let's constantly use each other's names in order for people to distinguish between us, which like I still don't think would help very much.
Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone's still having that problem anymore, Zach, but if they are, you know, please let us know, listeners.
That was very helpful of you, Zach, to say that.
I was thinking about how to work that joke, but I'm glad you got that. Yeah.
Hey, you set them up, I knocked them down. That's how it works. If you're still having
team.
if you're still having that problem, write in.
To one of us.
Yeah, or both, or neither.
A new amendment to the Medivac bill proposed that would change the way that doctors are able to recommend people be flown to the mainland. So I think up until now, the doctors had to see them in person, and the idea of this new change would be that the doctor only has to look at their files to recommend that they get flown to Australia. Which, if you're not an inhuman racist jerkbag like our immigration minister, is obviously sensible. But now they're being like, well, now there's really going to be hundreds of people coming in, though there's no evidence that that's true. Mm. But instead of that amendment, it looks likely that the whole thing might be repealed. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel kind of conflicted about it. Like, repealing the bill is obviously an awful thing, but the way that progressives have been sort of celebrating the passing of that bill is this important step forward for the political debate around refugees in this country is, I think, kind of depressing in the sense that it clearly represents that the goalposts on this issue have been moved so far to the right that literally fulfilling our requirements under the International Convention on Human Rights, which we, you know, Australia was an important contributor to the drafting of, even just fulfilling our kind of a super basic requirements for providing people with healthcare was regarded as this like important political win, the fact that we've been that the left, I suppose, you know, or anybody who gives a fuck about human beings has been so far beaten down and into this corner on this issue that we regard the absolute bare minimum as a win is pretty dark. So,
yeah, I think that's interesting. Like, I think we always try when we're doing the show to not just respond to the story as it's presented in the media and try and look a little bit deeper. And something that I kind of regret about not having more theory is that it's not really about not having more theory, but I feel like I could be doing a better job of doing good communist analysis of things when I'm mostly doing like progressive liberal analysis of things on the lines of like, that's bad policy, or like, you know, the Labour Party needs to get their shit together, or that kind of thing.
It's such an easy trap to fall into.
It is. And I'm not saying that's not valuable, and like when you're talking about the Australian political situation, like, but, you know, I shout outs to the many communist parties of Australia who respond to the news cycle with like good Marxist analysis. But yeah, like being excited that people in illegal jails might get medical care under certain circumstances instead of, I don't know. Yeah, I think we do a reasonable job about avoiding falling into that trap, but I would like to do better with it.
Oh, me too. I honestly think it's something that I fall into all the time, because at the end of the day, like, that is the perspective of all of the media that we consume, pretty much. And I think that's why we wanted to start this show, is because we felt like that was lacking to a certain extent in what we were listening to. I mean, when we started this podcast, I was the only Australian politics podcast that I regularly listened to was The Party Room. But this is the perspective that you get even from our nominally progressive media outlets. You know, they all have to take this stuff as read. They all have to deal, like, they're kind of, it's like playing the cards as they're dealt, kind of thing.
Like, even the Saturday or whatever, they're like, well, we need to treat our refugees more humanely or something, not like abolish borders because they're a scam by the capitalist class to limit the movement and freedom of the working class to extract surplus value or whatever, you know, like.
And, like, we know that some of the individuals within that paper specifically are, like, more radical than that, but it's... Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a balancing act, and
you're right. Yeah, we get our info from sources that,
and so it becomes very easy to parrot those perspectives. And I find myself doing it, and it's something that I have to actively work against. So you know, like, that's why I always appreciate when people write into the show and have something to say about what we've been talking about, because,
and when we get potlucks and shit, because it's always people with a different angle and, like, a fresh one, and
Yeah, and it tends to, I feel like it tends to be that slightly more, like, that a perspective that isn't as, like, tainted by those mainstream attitudes. That, you know, you're not just kind of, they're looking outside the system as it currently exists. And yeah, that's very important.
That's the entirety of my analysis on that issue.
Yeah, I basically agree. And I just want to add one thing about Christina Keneally, who's the Labour Immigration Minister, or Home Affairs.
Yes, Christina K. Keneally.
Sort of the opposition equivalent.
One K short of a pointy hat.
I kind of feel mixed about her. She has a weird history in politics that we don't need to get into right now. But
I no longer feel mixed about her, listeners.
Terrible since she's been given this position. She's basically been like, we want to torture these refugees more humanely.
I mean, partially that. I think also she's been trying to outflank Dutton pretty... like, from the right, and being like, he's talking about stopping the boats, but he's not talking about stopping the planes, and that's the real issue here. And it's like, wow, okay, they've really, like, dispensed with the dog whistling and gone full, like, we're just gonna go toe-to-toe with the libs on this.
The planes thing is interesting, though, because, I mean, as anyone who has been looking at, like, quote-unquote illegal immigration to Australia knows, that people who are coming by boat are a very small non-white minority of illegal migrants. I'm sorry, I have to use that word, flaming
people
comments. I'm trying to distinguish.
Just quietly, listeners, I'm always disappointed when I ask people to flame me in the comments and they don't. So if you could get on that, I would really appreciate it.
A lot of people are coming by plane are like British backpackers or American tourists or French tourists or whatever, who then overstay their visas and basically
represent a massive majority of the people who are actually, like, flaunting out immigration laws.
100%.
Which are stupid and bad.
Agreed. So maybe this stop the boat.
Man, these guys are good.
Could, and I'm putting on my, like, least cynical hat here, could represent a turn towards not specifically being shit towards black and brown people.
Except that she hasn't mentioned anything else isn't like that.
Yeah.
Positions are being extremely generous.
Yeah, and all the other shit that she said is very bad. So, to take off my very generous hat, fuck her and her conservative
This is bad.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me that I, like, complaining about Christina Keneally has become sort of a staple of the show. It's right there in episode one.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, this is the seed from which we grew, Zach. You know, there's it's all there.
Very true.
We did promise that this would be a show about memes, so just want to mention the absolutely fucking excellent meme I've seen going around about this issue, which is of the monkey, like, drowning somebody, and it was the fucking birthday cake thing. Did you see that?
No, I've seen the monkey one.
Oh, so the meme is in reference to this. Okay, so I should... So a two-year-old girl in Australian immigration detention was denied a birthday cake, and this became a news story, and then Christina Keneally, who's been extremely vocal, especially on Twitter, tweeting shit like, you know, Peter Dutton says that he's been tough on immigration, on illegal immigration, and is committed to keeping our borders strong, but he's actually been failing on this account, and we are going to be better than him. So really, you know, going full authoritarian on him. And then she tweeted, is this what we've become? We're not even giving birthday cake to children. And so there's, if you haven't seen it, there's that very excellent meme going around of the two versions of the same photo of a monkey drowning a person, and on the left it says, LNP, and on the right is the ALP, except the person that they're drowning is wearing a birthday hat.
I had seen that meme, but not gotten the full context of the birthday cake thing. I thought it was just a joke about how they have the same bullshit thing, but they're like, we've been nice about it.
It's such a good meme, because it goes, that, like, it makes sense even if you don't know the context of this very specific story, but also if you go deeper, there's so much there. And it's like, that's the good shit. I know, we've got a segment that we're going to do later called Shitpost of the Week, which we've actually awarded to someone else.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Coming as a strong runner-up. Yeah.
First ever shit posted. Well, later on in
the
show.
Not even.
So this show, this episode had a total of one segment.
Yeah, which was the shit post of the week.
And for the first few episodes, look, I'll save this for when
we get there. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So before Zach mentioned something about mandates, I just wanted to go on a little rant about.
I love going on mandates.
It's a fucking dumb concept in our electoral system, because thumping victory is like 52 or 53% in favor of one party. That's like it because it's a 6% margin. That's huge, and so. Whenever any government gets into power, they're like, oh, we have a mandate from the population to do all of this thing that we said. But actually, it's even less than that, because the primary votes are, like, in the low 30% for both Liberal and Labour. And so it's, like, a good third of the country voted for neither of them, and then they get into power and they're like, very slightly more than half of our population support our shitty views. And it's just not true by any stretch of the imagination. And, look, to be fair...
Wait. You're saying the politicians are just completely bullshitting us?
I know it's a radical position.
Okay, all right, fine. Let me absorb that. I will call you cynical. Please continue.
Mandates. They don't have them. The opposition doesn't have them. No one has them.
I'm still using the same fucking jokes.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, we've been using them since we were like 15, to be fair, that we just put a microphone on at some point.
This, honestly, the main thing I'm getting from this is that...
all of our episodes are exactly the same.
I just feel like I'm so boring. That's honestly...
Oh, we have a strong brand, Zach. It's called a strong brand.
Yes, yeah, totally. Very strong.
And also because, like, they go to the...
Rock solid.
Like, a bunch of different policies, and people vote for, like, oh, I want that one thing, even though I hate all the rest of the shit. And then they get into power, and they're like, suddenly we've decided everything is what people are supporting.
This is a good rant, though. I retrospectively approve this.
Tell them that you have a mandate to piss on them, and
Jesus,
do it. That's my mandate.
Listeners, have you pissed on anyone who mentioned a mandate to you? If not, I'm very disappointed.
Especially if endorsing urination is important and non-violent
protest.
Direct action.
Yeah.
Is it non-violent?
Still true.
Look, I guess it's a matter of opinion.
Flame us in the comments. Is P violent?
Thank you for your rant. I apologize for interrupting mid-rant. That was extremely bad podcast That's etiquette. kind of following up what you were saying about the number of people who actually voted for each party. Yesterday I saw a guy talk, and I can't remember his name. Maybe I'll look it up later, but I probably won't. he's from Central Pole. Central Poland? Polling company, Australian polling organization.
I think you said Central Poland.
Essential Poland. That's a poll, right? Yeah, Essential Poland is a poll.
Good old Central Poland.
Yep. Deeply relevant. The next 20 minutes will be devoted to local politics in Krakow.
This is completely off topic, but I saw a meme a little while ago that's just like some older middle-aged man looking over his glasses at the camera, and it says, "What would your psychiatrist say when you tell him you're not investing in Eastern Europe?" I don't know if there was more context to it, but I thought it was very funny.
Does there need to be?
No, not for me.
See, this was such a good meme, Noon. It just goes so deep.
I was going to say before about the monkey thing, I feel like that still happens where you'll like send me a meme and I'll be like, ha, it's funny. Like there's a funny picture and you'll be like, no, but this is actually a reference to this extremely important political event that...
Oh, come on,
like,
that happens far what? More in reverse.
Normally when I send you memes that you don't understand, it's about like...
They're communists.
Or recently I've been getting into the documentary hypothesis of Bible authorship. A lot of obscure memes there. I'll show you some later. But normally with the Ozpol ones, you get the context much better than I do. I just think memes are cool.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter more than you, so I think that's probably the where that comes from.
He explained something that I thought was kind of interesting, and this was part of a panel at Progress, which I'll get into and rant. I'll do a rant to match your rant. Right,
my first and only piece of original reporting.
Part of the reason why the polling was so off is that when they do the primary vote polling, that they take out of the sample anybody who doesn't say that they're voting for either of the major parties.
Right.
And so the polls that were coming out before the election, which had a relatively decent margin in favor of Labour, maybe it was 52-48, something like that. And he was saying, realistically, that number was probably something closer to 48-44, and you have like 80% of people who are completely undecided, and if obviously those people swing really hard one way or the other, your polling data is completely off.
Polls are also preferences allocated in polling according to the previous election, which is a sensible way to do it as far as like you have to figure out some way to do it, but in practice that's not a very reliable method, as we have seen.
Yeah, so but yeah, I just thought that was an interesting, like, talking about mandates and the amount of people who actually vote for either party.
Reminds me of an American anarchist slogan that every election the majority of Americans don't vote for anyone and they lose.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mentioned that I saw this dude speak at Progress. I really should have learned his name before talking about this, but he'll be fine. So, yeah, I attended Progress. I was sent by my work.
So what is Progress?
Progress is, what's the best way to describe it? It's built as a conference, the flagship conference for the progressive movement in Australia. It's mostly people from large NGOs coming together, and there's lots of kind of talks and panels and backslapping.
getting lots of emails at the moment, invited me to Digital Progress because it's all happening online this year. And I just unsubscribed yesterday from that email.
Nice.
Stop fucking bothering me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not now in the corona world, but I was just thinking that, like, maybe going to these sorts of events might be good, like, bonus snack pod content or something like that of, like, yeah, you said our only original reporting. And, I mean, we have never pretended to be reporters. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, I think that might be a good avenue for us to explore in future, like, just checking out events, doing reviews and comments and stuff.
Do you have $900 to buy two tickets?
Well, I'm a progressive thought leader, so... Yes.
What you're saying is that we're going to get invited to these.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, you know, they're so progressive, I'm sure they have, like, a sliding scale ticket fee, right?
Yeah, I attended for the first time this year. So there's a couple of quite long and good threads on the Ausbolcher Posting Facebook page if you want to kind of get a little bit more detail on this stuff. But just to sum up, it's extremely inaccessible financially. The tickets cost upwards of $400. I think some of them go for almost $600 in certain cases.
So progressive.
Yeah, super fucking progressive.
Yeah, same fucking jokes a year later. God damn it.
You know, you read a newspaper and there's like an ad that is supposed to look like an article? Content, I feel like it's called, maybe?
Sure.
It's called native content. So there's a lot of kind of...
advertorials.
There was native content where basically Bank of Australia, for example, who was the major sponsor, would kind of get on stage with other progressive activists or whatever and have these sort of like scripted discussions. And then you'd get a little pop-up on the Progress app, which, you know, everybody has, you know, done the Progress app. It's got the schedule and you can get reminders of when you want to see XYZ session and get little push notifications from Bank Australia through the Progress app being like, divest now, put your money in clean hands and this kind of shit.
I mean, I'd forgotten about that. And
yeah. Going a big rant so about cooked. Bank Australia.
Sorry?
Yeah, you went on a big rant about it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm saying it in the episode, but it's cooked that you have the bank sponsoring this event and like it's like the app is giving you ads for the bank and telling you.
I feel mixed about it. I like Bank Australia. I bank with them. They are a bank. I'm not trying to say they're like the coolest dudes, but like this is a fucking quote unquote progressive conference with $600 tickets. I mean, like, Bank Australia is a pretty inoffensive corporate sponsor far as these things go.
It's a very appropriate sponsor for this event, and therein lies the problem.
Yeah. I guess that's a good point. But
I think the
thing. Sorry, I think this is actually a really good example of what I just said before of what I don't want to do, of being like, oh, but I'm just going to, like, look within the frame that's presented to me. Like, yeah, no, bank sponsoring progressive events. Yeah, it's pretty cooked. But now let's hear Zach say that more angrily.
And they do seem fine, but also maybe banks shouldn't be funding
progressive movement. You know, and if I need to explain that, I'm just not going to. yeah, so the other real major issue that came up was how inaccessible the conference was to disabled people. It's physically a very inaccessible venue. It was held at Melbourne Town Hall. And as was noted multiple times throughout the conference, the walls like lined with portraits of crusty old colonial white men, which is, you know, obviously just a lovely touch. a lovely backdrop for the
people at home. You just missed Zach doing a little Italian chef kiss.
Yeah, I'll try to make that louder next time. So that was the other kind of major issue. There was a real focus on representation of First Nations people. A number of excellent speakers from Bruce Pascoe to Niu Kagori who did, you know, say some really salient and interesting stuff. But I think this was partially in response to being chewed the fuck out for it last year, having basically no First Nations representation. And what they've done is they've clearly made a lot of effort to correct that. And I think that was one of the few positive takeaways from what was otherwise a pretty hollow, corporate, and uninspiring, self-congratulatory circle jerk.
This is pretty off topic from our, like, our own congratulatory circle jerk of listening back to our first episode. But just last night, there was an interview that a friend of a friend of mine did. She's a deaf woman, deaf white woman, and she was interviewing a deaf First Nations woman. And it was really good. It was like an hour and a half or something. I caught the second half. But yeah, it was really good. And maybe I'll post a link to that in Ausbolcher Posting. But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting perspective. Anyway, yeah, nothing to do with the rest of the episode. Just a cool thing that happened this week that maybe listeners, you could check out.
Yeah, for sure.
It was on iSign, I Wonder is the name of the website.
Pretty deflated. Go on.
I just wanted to say, you know, this pains me to admit, but I actually went to the Atheist Convention in 2012. And it sounds like almost identical, except there weren't very many First Nations people. There was one Muslim woman, but that was as non-white as the Atheist Convention.
It was Ayan Hirsi Ali, for listeners who know who that is.
And just our last bit of news this week, you probably are all aware about John Secker, the
alleged...
Stop bumping the mic, guys.
Who allegedly said a bunch of shit about Rosie Batty and about men's rights recently, and you probably all don't need a recap on that, but there's been a big shit fight in the Labour Party about it, and the union movement and the ACTU and everything. But his second-in-command guy called Sean Reardon has quit from his position as the deputy of the Victorian CFMMU, which, good on you, Sean.
I still make that joke every time.
Sorry. Good work. You know, he specifically stepped down. He seems to be implying that with his statement that he's stepping down specifically because of these comments.
Yeah, I think that is.
You know, I mean, it might seem obvious, but obviously, these people kind of have to mask everything that they do and say in euphemism, which is one of the reasons why our political system is super functional and awesome.
I feel like you followed Sean Reardon a bit more after that. Sorry to just like put you on the spot, but do you know anything about what's going on with him now?
No.
Okay, cool. Let's go back to the show.
Yep.
But so, you know, he came as close as I think that he seemingly could to literally saying, I disagree with this blatant fucking misogyny, and he's just clearly a trash human. I think he said, we fundamentally disagree on issues by which I would live and die. So, some pretty, emotionally charged language there, which is, good to see.
A man in a position of power in the organization that's...
actually ceding ground
and
putting his money where his mouth is, so to speak. 100%. Kind of seem to be lack of money, I guess.
And now it's time for Shitpost of the Week.
Wait, can we just slow that down to normal speed so we can really appreciate it?
Yeah, you bet. All right, I'm going to back it up a couple seconds here. Here we go.
And now it's time for Shitpost of the Week.
That's pretty bad.
I think it's really cute. For the first few episodes, you did a different... we didn't have a pre-recorded sting for Shitpost of the Week. You would just say, Shitpost of the Week, and then I would put...
echoes
and some effects on it later. So for the first few episodes, it's different every week, which honestly is kind of cute.
Yeah.
Also a hassle.
I think it must have been around episode 4 or 5 that we recorded several stings at least. You had the concept for You Fucked Up. I had the best of takes, blurst of takes concept, and we recorded that like maybe 5 or 6 times.
We just different versions,
we just looped it in my headphones, and I would just say takes. You stitched it together seamlessly later on. Also, I just wanted to mention there's been an idea for a segment that I've had probably a good 8 months ago. That Zach can't do the sting for because it's like a big orchestral number. But it's another Simpsons bit, which is the first annual Montgomery Burns Award for outstanding achievement in the field of bum 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 excellence. It's got a whole horn.
There's a lot going on.
Section, yeah. So
no, I mean, look, I'll get the time and I'll do it eventually. And it was going to be for bum bum bum. Big Brain Takes.
It's going to be the annual Matt Bevin Award.
No, Bevin
Shields.
Bevin Shields.
God damn it. Matt Bevin's fine.
That's the Bevin boy. He's the good Bevin.
Good Bevin. Yeah, the one with the last name, Bevin. Yeah. Bevin. All right, let's keep going.
Bevining intensifies. Actually, my mum.
Yeah.
That was one of the only references to a joke from the show that my mum has ever made to me. She just sent me a text one weekend being like, ugh, so much bevening in the paper this weekend.
That's great. Me and my housemate go and read the paper at the cafe most mornings. Oh, we haven't for the last couple of months for obvious reasons. But, So they don't listen to the show because they hate my explaining voice, which is fair enough.
Deeply unreasonable. You have a great explaining voice.
Thanks. I mean, they're not the first person to have that issue. But they know about my feelings about Bevin Shields. And there was an article being like, Bevin Shields is no longer doing Australian political commentary. He's now going to the UK and he'll be our UK correspondent. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Now we're going to get one column each day in the world news segment about Boris Johnson. And I can mostly forget about this guy. But no, apparently there's a lot of international news that needs reporting on. And so fucking Bevin Shields has
wall to wall Bevin.
It's just
Bevin by the barrelful. You've got to give the people what they want.
Bevin.
Yeah, okay, let's go with that.
Cool, yeah. Well, look, as we all know, there's shitposts and shitposts, and this is definitely a shitpost.
Well, I really didn't explain that one.
Blair Cottrell, who you may know as a steroid-using neo-Nazi who tried to beat up a street performer a couple months ago. Yep. And yes, quite a lot. And he made a post this week with a screenshot of a letter from his bank, Westpac, I believe it is. And in it, they inform him that they will be closing his account at the end of the month. And I'm just going to read out the post that Blair Cottrell made there. So,
oh, and like, you know, fucking content warning for being a massive Nazi misogynist piece of shit.
Yeah, what I'm about to read does not reflect my views. Yeah. Lol, world communism in effect. They're closing my bank accounts now too and won't even tell me why.
Sorry, just love communists running Westpac. Yeah.
Like, lol, world communism in effect is such a, like... This was truly, I mean, it was the first shitpost of the week, and honestly, I think it was a good choice. Well, communism in effect, regard, you know, it's a great way to open
it's
an open
It's a strong
letter.
Opening, and yeah. It's going to get stronger, I think. Yeah.
We will appreciate that we are not able to provide you with any further information about our commercial imperatives. But we already know why, don't we? It's because I know the truth about the international ethnic genocide of white people. I know who's doing it and why.
Sorry, for listeners at home, you might not be able to distinguish which of those unhappy groans was from Zach now or Zach a year ago.
2K19, yeah. But both are groaning.
Yeah.
Why they're pushing your kids to be gay and transgender. I know the real purpose of feminism. I just know too much. They'll have to think about how they're going to kill me, though, because this really won't affect me much. Thanks, Blair.
Jesus Christ, Blair, what the hell? You fucking traumatic idiot. Just, yeah. I'm a little disappointed that the Jews didn't get a shout out on that. You know, honestly,
it's, you know, taken as read, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to think about how they're going to kill me.
Those fucking communist Westpac.
Yeah, welcome to the revolution, Westpac.
Damn, so consistent.
Wow, I mean, they always have had that red logo, so that's now then again, so NAB. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know, let's see who he opens an account with next.
Bank. I mean,
holy,
it's fucking transparent.
Open your eyes.
Through the looking glass, fucking people.
There's probably too much to unpack there.
That was something actually just there that happened a lot in the early episodes, was that you would exasperatedly like rub your face while you were talking, and it I found it endearing, and then listening back I was like, oh, it's really good bad audio.
If you disagree that is the shittest post of the week, please respond with what you think is a shitty one, or here's an idea, craft one from scratch, produce some content.
We need the memes.
We really need the memes. I don't know if page engagement is down, but like page engagement is down, people.
Group engagement.
Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Well, that's us for the week or month or however long we're going to do these.
Or potentially ever.
Yeah,
potentially ever.
Potentially ever.
I just wanted to flag with you guys that we are completely open to the idea of never doing this again. Just to be super clear on that.
Yeah. So let us know exactly how bad this was and what we were wrong about.
So, you know, this should be a thing that like you people on the page are actually interested in, because otherwise group. Literally nobody will care or listen. So... is that a good note to end it on?
Yep.
Do we need
Rate and review on iTunes. We're not on iTunes, but if we were, you should have already rated and reviewed us.
He's right, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of a sign-off real quick. That could be it.
All right. Bye.
Oh, I thought we had the snacking and the free roll right from the get-go.
No. I don't know when I came up with it, and we were discussing the other day that it's not actually a very good sign-off.
No, I remember someone got annoyed with me, this was about years and years ago, for referring to Obama as the leader of the free world, and I don't think I was doing it particularly earnestly, like, I don't think I was, like, being supportive of him, but they were like, you know, that's like a old Cold War, like, bullshit propaganda thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But is yours also, like, a... Bruce Springsteen.
It's a Neil Young.
Neil Young, that's right. Yeah.
Keep on rocking the free world. It's funny if you think about keep on snacking the free world. But, you know,
it's also a weird choice of song for you to have picked. It's not really your vibe.
I don't really like Neil Young.
No. What you know about Snack Pod? Gabagool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been a year. Maybe we can switch up the sign-off. Or maybe we don't even need one. You know, it's pretty cheesy. Not that this isn't a cheesy show, but...
Yeah, no, it's pretty cheesy. Like, I think the sign-offs are cute. And we got some fan art based on them from friend, confidant, and member of our Inner Sanctum, Steph Westwood, who did a beautiful handcrafted meme. I don't know if I told you, she came around a bit after that, and she was like, yeah, I was originally going to make it as a meme, but then I realized the meme was going to be shit and boring, so I decided to do it by hand, because that's going to make it excellent regardless of how shitty it was.
Steph was that correct.
Was, yeah, she is not wrong.
Fucking nailed it, yeah. We should get that framed.
Yeah, we should.
First ever
yeah.
piece of fan art.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, except all the memes.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
There you go.
What do you think of that? Sign off. I was going to say, I did a little bonus Noonan the Dunce without the Dunce.
Mm.
Part 5 for our Patreon listeners. So, listeners, if you wanted a little bit extra of that, you can sign up to our Patreon for $1 a month, and you'll get that 5th bonus Noon and No Dunce episode. But at the end, I ended it up with Fuck Cops Crunch Crunch, and a supporter of the show, patron, fan, all-round bang-up guy, Aiden, was like, Fuck Cops Crunch Crunch, hell yeah! So, I don't know, maybe that can be a regular thing, but...
Work it in. Why not?
Mm.
It's a new ACAB world out there. You know what I mean?
FCCC. Fuck Cops Crunch Crunch. Yeah.
I like it. I think we can work with it.
Yeah.
Look, honestly, I thought that the first episode was going to be significantly more painful to listen back to. And I think what we learned is, in fact, that we are just the same fucking dickheads that we were a year ago, pretty much. I mean, obviously...
We put a lot more work into it now, and, like, stuff has definitely changed. I feel like we kind of struggled to fill that half hour there, and now, this time, we're always like, we got to cut stories to make it down to 55 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Well, yeah. Yeah, started off as a half-hour show, and, like... No, I mean, we cut... It was initially... Like I said, initially, it was like 45 minutes long.
You were... we've talked about this on air before, but you were really big on it, not...
Yeah, I was
out.
I was initially very strict about the time frame and slowly and started to lose control.
I think, yeah, like by episode 4 or 5, we were getting up to like 45 minutes and we were like, oh no, I don't know, it's too long, blah, blah, blah.
No, it's a half hour. It's consistently a half hour and up until it starts to blow out. Yeah, there we go.
Around episode 20,
yeah, but so about
late teens,
6 months in, rush ish,
There's just a couple other things that I kind of wanted to mention that we've done this year that were cool. Like, we did some interviews, which were pretty sweet. We've had Lisbeth, Tom Tanaki, and Kira. We had
Jack B. Quick,
Jack B. Quick,
well,
recently, and also Charlie about Myth.
Yeah,
they were all really fun, and Lazy Susan, of course. I wasn't there, so it's not in my memory. Even though I listened to the episode and enjoyed it a lot,
that
was
a really
fun Lazy
interview.
But yeah. So that's been nice. I think, interviewing is not our strong suit.
No,
but it's
it really isn't.
I've enjoyed all of them, and felt like the process was rewarding, even if we probably didn't get the most out of our guests as we could.
Yeah, I agree. And look, it's something I'd like to practice more, but we also got very mixed feedback on those early interviews because we're not interviewers.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of made us shy off a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's important to mention, as we say in the first episode, that, you know, this is obviously... you know, only worth doing if we're kind of giving people something that they want to listen to.
Mm.
And so we always are interested in feedback. And if you've got ideas for what you'd like to hear, you know, if you'd like to hear more interviews or no interviews or, you know, any
or
kind
like
of feedback.
Just have someone else. Has someone suggested having like guests, like hosts, just like have someone on to hang out and go through the news with us, which might be a bit hard to work into our process, but like, I'm sure we could do it.
We can figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I guess over the last year as well, like, we had a couple of sort of big memes blow up. We had the Steam Tams was about
that
our
was
first
the first
big
one.
Meme, and we kind of built our entire Facebook audience off the back of that meme, which also got us a brief write up in Junkie, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was a good meme. We should do another one, maybe like Steamed Coronanomics or whatever, just like the same joke, but. Different.
Clearly, we don't have any new jokes.
No,
so.
Well, I was trying to think the other day of, like, Simpsons memes with a similarly, like, well-beaten path of memeage or something. Like, I feel like that's really the number one in terms of, like,
easily.
Long scenes of dialogue with... Yeah.
It's the most iconic scene. Really.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, listeners, if there's... classic Simpsons meme that we could make unwieldily long with discussion of economics.
Please let us know.
Give us a suggestion. We love it. But yeah, we had Junkie, and as a result of that, I wrote an article for a journal, which was fun.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. That was really good.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, I liked it.
I keep linking it to people online. I don't know if anyone gets anything out of it, but yeah. There's a joke. I can't remember who said this, which is kind of ironic, but it was some old famous dead author or whatever. He was like, I like to quote myself in conversation. I like to quote myself. It adds spice to conversation. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. Which I think is funny, but also I think about it every time I post my own article to someone. Yeah.
What else did we do? We did
Real Shit Albo, which...
Yeah,
is
didn't really
bad.
Take off.
No,
for
it
good
didn't.
Reason.
Yeah, listening to it again recently, it was pretty bad.
Look, we put a lot of time and effort into making that for some reason.
Didn't pay off. That's fine. It was worth a shot.
Not everyone's going to be a winner.
Yeah.
There was also recently Dutton with the sickness that really took off.
Mm.
And then the other day, I clipped that thing of the guy yelling at ScoMo to get off his lawn,
grass,
and that
yeah.
did pretty well for us, just because I just happened to be like on Twitter at the right time and saw Sky News post the clip and was like, hey, I'll yoink that.
Yep.
Hey, presto.
I don't know. I feel like it's been an interesting addition to the group to have the podcast. Like, I feel like it's very optional, you know? Like, it's not like everyone in the group listens to it, though you should. There's 2,000 of you. We need your listens. But yeah, that's been nice, and we've had such a lovely group of people supporting us, and like,
yeah,
we looked at Patreon stuff early on, and you were like, basically no one earns more than 100, or like gets more than $100 a month from Patreon, and like, there's very, very few people who do, and most of them tend to be like quite a bit more, if you know what I mean. They're like the super successful ones, and we've plateaued quite a bit past that, which is really nice and surprising, but that I'm not trying to promote our Patreon so much as just be like, it's really surprising and lovely that we have so many people listening who enjoy it enough and care enough, who are willing to put some money towards supporting it. So
yeah, we don't have a huge listenership, but we've got a very supportive and devoted
committed, yeah it's really amazing
base, which is it's really special. And a lot of those people have helped us kind of shape the show over the years.
Definitely.
I mean, like we said earlier on, that we got advice, you know, we listened to people's advice about our acknowledgement, for example. I had somebody call me out on some ableist language a few months ago, and they sent me a whole bunch of resources, which I found really helpful. And that's something that I've been actively working on, trying to remove some of those words from my vocabulary, which is hard when you're talking about Australian politicians.
Yep.
But you just have to, you know, that's part of the...
I also did that earlier in that episode, this episode, so sorry about that, listeners. But yeah. But you're right. I mean, it's a sign that people see us and hear us and care about us and want us to improve and want the show to be better and, like, not in a...
Yeah, as opposed to
tearing
just like
down way, but
telling
you know, like,
us to fuck off or tuning out,
yeah.
Like actually engaging. That's, you know, and that means a lot. So when we get that kind of critical feedback, like, yeah, we really do take it on board.
Yep.
And we've had lots of, you know, people, aside from everybody who's sent in potlucks, which is always great, people organizing guests to come on the show, like on our behalf, and everybody who kind of like promotes us around the place. You know, it's just, it's really lovely. And I really view the community that has grown around the podcast as really the most amazing thing that's come out of it. And so, you know, we say this a lot, and we definitely had a couple of people when in episode 50, after we played that potluck, where people were like, thank you for doing the show. And we were all like moved by it. We definitely had a couple of people being like, okay, you've been saying you've been moved for like 2 or 3 minutes now. You can probably wrap this episode up.
So yeah, but it was a big deal, though.
It was extremely nice.
Yeah.
So, look, I know that we know that we go on about it, but it is really special.
Yep.
And so, you know, thank you so much for listening for over the past year. Like, that's amazing. And we hope that we can continue to have, like, I guess a mutually educational relationship where we can all learn from each other. Oh my God, I sound like an episode of Arthur or something.
Well, I'm going to get Arthurier because I wanted to say thank you to you, Zach.
Oh, thanks,
because
Nick.
You put in so much work for this show. Listeners, probably some of you know, but Zach does literally 100% of the tech side of stuff. And he does at least half the research. And yeah, I think you're such a compassionate and thoughtful and clever person, and the show wouldn't be the same if it was just me giving my like bland hot takes. But yeah, no, I think you bring something really special, and it's been so good for me to do the podcast just on like a personal level. It's been really good for me and my mental health, and like it's so nice doing something creative with a friend of mine. And yeah, it's really lovely. So thank you for putting aside this time and for doing it with me.
You bet. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying, I mean, you and I have been friends for a long time now, and I've always found chatting to you just very interesting. You've always, there's such a wealth of knowledge and compassion and a very singular perspective. And, you know, I mean, we used to be teenagers who would walk around for hours at night punching darts and like talking about religion. Like that's the kind of nerds that we were in high school. And that's, you know, it's a pretty rare thing to find somebody who is kind of so thoughtful and so committed to exploring new ideas. And I think it's really valuable. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of our listeners would agree that you've got a level of insight and a perspective that is pretty singular. And aside from that, you're just a really lovely person. And this has been so nice getting to hang out with you every weekend and make it a regular thing. So, yeah, it's been all around a pretty positive experience. Mm. So far, we haven't been big enough to attract the attention of any trolls yet, really.
Mm. I've already told Zach this story like three times, but the other day I was listening to a podcast called Alien Theorists Theorizing, which is just a fucking genius title, guys.
Yeah,
rolls right off the tongue. Fuck. And episode 22, they were like, we're getting 2,000 listens a week, and you guys are leaving us reviews. Did I already say that on air in this episode? I don't think so. No. I think it was before we started. I was like, God fucking damn it. 2,000 listens a week, episode 22. Maybe we should have an alien segment each week, but we get
bring
that.
Those listeners in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, no, the community that we do have is so wonderful, and I wouldn't trade it for those 2,000 alien nerds for anything.
Nah,
yeah.
Fuck you, nerds. but you nerds, we love you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's probably enough.
Yeah.
You know,
happy anniversary.
Like yeah. Happy anniversary to you too.
Cool.
Are we gonna?
Fuck cops crunch.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.